Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.
Brooklyn's Radio Playhouse brings you a play from Upstage Surrey. And by the way, Upstage Surrey ask us to get some feedback regarding these regular offerings. Could you email any feedback to Upstage Theatre Company, figure 4, at gmail.com? That's Upstage Theatre Company, the figure 4, at gmail.com. And they do work hard, and all the feedback, good and otherwise, would be appreciated by this non-membership-funded local drama group. So tell them what you like, what you don't like, and what you'd like to hear more of.
Upstage Surrey presents A Pyrrhic Victory by Emma McQuillan.
I'm sorry I'm late. The traffic is dreadful.
In the 46 years I've known you, you've never once been on time.
Oh, that's totally untrue.
Oh, relax. Who wants to be friends with someone who can't amuse themselves for a few minutes?
Not me.
Nor me. My own thoughts and a glass of something cold keeps me busy enough. What are you having?
Do you need to ask?
I do not.
So what were they?
What were what?
Your thoughts. The thoughts you were having just now.
Oh, nothing much. Just musings.
Come on. Fess up.
Do you ever think about, you know...
S-E-X.
No, I can't even remember how to spell it.
Well, it's a short word with a lot of Scrabble points.
Oh, my God, Connie. Don't remind me about that.
About what?
The infamous Scrabble incident.
Huh?
The night your Jack wanted to play S-E-X on a double word score, but Walter went nuts and wouldn't allow it.
Because it was an abbreviation?
I don't know. But Jack spent ages looking up the rules, consulting the dictionary and everything. It was fabulously tedious.
You always say Jack's a bore, but Walter was just as bad.
They couldn't back down. Not to Jack for some reason. They always locked horns.
Well, anyway, I don't think you were reminiscing about our games nights.
No, I wasn't.
Well, what then?
Do you ever consider that time is limited?
Oh, I see. You've had your mammogram again.
Well, yes, OK, you're right. I have done the boob squishy thing in the caravan in the Tesco's car park.
Hold.
Don't move.
Don't breathe.
Hold it. Hold it.
Hand release.
No, that's not it.
Are you sure? We've seen all this before. Something happens to alert you to your mortal status and then you get all maudlin for a while.
I'm serious.
Well, so am I. Look, just park that thought somewhere out of sight. You'll be soon be fine again.
Oh, listen to me.
Go on, then.
When I look back at my life, am I going to say I did everything I wanted to do?
I don't know. Will you?
I very much doubt it.
Well, so do those things.
I can't.
Why not?
I've always wanted to see the Niagara Falls.
So? Go!
Oh, come on. I don't have that sort of money. And I don't have anyone to go with, do I?
If you really want to go, I'll go with you.
I'm not asking you to. Jack will freak out if you and I suddenly take off to Venezuela for a few weeks.
Venezuela?
Or is it Brazil?
Sweetie, the Niagara Falls are in North America. They're on the border between the US and Canada.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
It sure is.
Where they are is not important.
Well, it is if you want to get there.
The thing is, time is limited and there are many, many, many things to do.
What do you mean? New hairdo, nails and a spot of shopping?
I did get a new hairdo, actually.
Yeah, I can see that. It is so nice. Suits you shorter. It makes the most of that natural wave. Stunning.
That's so sweet of you to say, but not that sort of thing.
So, what sort of thing?
That I wish I'd done.
Just write a list of achievable things and then start ticking them off one by one.
Your entirely logical and pragmatic approach to life gets really dull after a while, you know.
I'm so sorry. What sort of poetic psychobabble reply would have been better for you right now?
Something more understanding.
What do you want? Look, forget all about the practical considerations. Forget about the money, the time, all the earthly constraints, like geography. What would be the one thing to do before departure?
Anything at all?
Absolutely anything. Go on, imagine.
Well, the thing I've dreamt of time and time again. Oh, you won't take the piss out of me now, will you?
Yes, definitely. But tell me anyway.
Cruel, heartless beast.
Come on, I'm just teasing. What is it?
Can you guess?
Yeah. You want to go to Australia to see the Taj Mahal.
Ha ha, very funny. Even I know where the Taj Mahal is.
Only because of Princess Di.
Absolutely. Never forget those shots. All alone, legs at an angle. But you're way off the mark. It's not somewhere I want to go.
Ah, you want to be Princess Di, is that it?
No, of course not. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? That's the root of the fascination with her. The glamour and yet the awfulness of it all wrapped into one.
She had nice dresses and a good hairstyle.
Never underestimates the importance of couture and coiffure in a woman.
100 years of emancipation, and that's still what it all boils down to. Your dress and your hair.
Oh, not just that.
Education?
No, the handbag and the shoes are crucial.
I wish I could care more about these things.
Oh, you're lovely just as you are.
What, frumpy?
No, not frumpy. Homely. Yes, comfortable. The perfect nurse.
Oh, no. I think you might be making it worse.
Anyway, you still haven't guessed.
Oh, yeah. So, not a place to visit, not a royal personage. Give me a hint.
It's someone I'd like to meet for lunch.
Really? Who?
You're supposed to guess.
Oh, I give up.
I'll give you a clue.
Go on, then.
Eyes.
Blue eyes?
Of course.
Not Frank Sinatra.
Of course not.
Oh, come on, just tell me. I've got no idea.
Paul Newman.
You have been thinking about S-E-X.
That's not what this is about.
Oh, so you and Paul Newman are going to have a meeting of minds, are you?
We're going to have a romantic interlude.
Well, that means sex.
Why do you always make everything so basic?
What do you want from this lunch with Paul, Rosie?
You know, I want to be desired, adored, worshipped by a glorious god of a man. So go on then. Take the piss out of me like you said you would.
Of course not, Rose. I get it.
You do?
Makes perfect sense. Who wouldn't want that?
I knew you'd understand. Under all your ribaldry, you're a sensitive soul after all.
It is going to be difficult to make that happen, though. Be way easier to go to the Niagara Falls, to be honest.
That's the thing. These are the longed-for experiences that cannot be bought. People try, of course. They get on their phones, open their EasyJet app and try to buy themselves a little happiness.
Like buying a cheap flight to anywhere for the weekend's going to solve any one of anyone's problems.
Exactly. But we all do it, don't we?
Add cabin bags.
We want romance, but all we get is speedy boarding.
I bet Walter never paid for speedy boarding.
Well, you're wrong about Walter.
What? He did? Seriously?
Yep.
Tight ass.
I speak it the truth, for you forget he was even more vain than mean. And when they called the speedy boarders, he was like strutting over. Come on, my lady, this is for us.
Oh, I can see that now. Accidentally pushing grannies and betrapped-suited youths out of the way.
Walter the man coming through.
You know, you probably can get a VR experience for whatever you want these days.
Virtual reality?
Yeah, you know, that goggles thing.
Have you ever tried it?
Only once. It was part of an immersive theatre experience. We had to fly around Victorian London.
And how was it?
I actually got the worst travel sickness, zooming over dreadful slums and then getting a bird's eye view of the museums.
Not to be recommended, then.
It's just that modern life seems to spend so much time gilding the lily.
I agree.
People have been writing about Victorian London, well, since the Victorian times, actually.
Yeah, Dickens didn't rely too heavily on VR.
You don't need some stupid headset when you have an actual head.
Oh, you are funny, Connie. You know that, right? You're so funny.
Actually, no, I'm not joking. I could do it.
Do what?
A VR experience for your lunch with Paul Newman.
Have you got those goggly things?
No, of course not.
So that's not going to work then, is it?
Well, have you got ski goggles?
Yeah, I got them for Michael for a school ski trip. He was in year 9 then, I think. I didn't really want him to go, but Walter thought he would get in with the right crowd.
And did he?
Certainly not. He couldn't ski, could he? So he hurt his back on the first day and spent most of the week in the hotel room with the teacher.
Well, that's an expensive week of babysitting.
Yeah, I could have better spent the money on a tutor for Francis at the time too. But Walter said she didn't need extra maths because she was pretty enough as she is.
Oh, Frances is real pretty, though. He was right about that. She's a picture of her mother.
So they say.
Have you still got the goggles?
Yeah, I keep meaning to put them on eBay because they're hardly used, but...
OK, then. We'll bring them next week.
OK. Are we going now? I haven't finished my wine.
Sorry, I've got a dash. I need to get back before Jack. Look, I'll see you next week. Same time, yeah? Bye.
Bye. Gotta get back before Jack. Over here.
Oh, there you are.
It's a bit dingy in here.
I know, yeah, but it's quieter than our usual haunts.
Oh, good, because I'm not sure what people will be thinking when I put these on.
Oh, you bought them then?
Your wish is my command.
Oh, let's see them. Oh, they're nice. Look at these nice flashy silver lenses. Can you actually see out of these? Oh, yeah, you can. Cool. Love yours.
I thought I was doing the lunch.
You are. Sorry, you put them on. I got it ready.
There we go. Oh, I feel like a right idiot.
You ought to be used to that by now.
Uh-huh.
No one's looking. Look, are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
You approach the bistro from the outside. There are wooden tables and chairs arranged on the pavement in front.
Ooh, are we eating out? I'm not very keen on that.
You walk past the tables and chairs.
Oh, that's good. I mean, all those exhaust fumes and flies getting on your lunch.
Walking past and into the bistro.
Does it have red and white gig and tablecloths?
No, this is a classy place, not some throwback to 70s kitsch.
Shame.
This place is more exposed brick walls and broad oiled wood tables.
No tablecloths at all?
Nope.
Seeing as this is my fantasy, can't I have it the way I like it?
Oh, look, just go with it. You'll like it when you see it.
OK, it's coming up in my head.
Have you got those large potted plants by the big windows?
Oh, yes, lovely. A nightmare to keep the dust off those, though.
Rose, concentrate. We're not doing a housekeeping daydream here.
True. Got the plants. A cheese plant. A couple of massive Kentia palms. Are they real? Oh, they are. They probably have a firm coming in just to look after these plants, you know. Unbelievable what becomes of business in this modern age.
Look, are we doing lunch or what?
Yes, we are.
OK. You see a small table just for two in the corner. The large leaves of the palm just nudging the tabletop.
The sunlight through the window casts the shadow of the cheese plant on the wall. Wow, how amazing is that?
That's great, you got it.
Where's Paul?
He's sitting at this table with his back to you.
Oh yes, so he is.
He's wearing a light-coloured linen suit jacket.
Oh, I think I'd better leave now.
Oh, Rose, this is your lunch. Go over to the table.
I don't think I can.
Do it. Just walk over.
How far away is it?
Oh, it's a small bistro, just a few tables. You carefully edge past the other diners and go over to him.
Has he got hair?
Of course. It's just starting to grey at the temples, but only a bit.
Very distinguished looking.
You betcha.
What am I going to say to him?
Well, he's invited you to this lunch, so the onus is on him to make the conversation.
He invited me? How?
Oh, I don't know. He sent you a text or something.
I didn't have text in those days.
OK, his people called your people and they arranged it.
Oh, no.
Oh, what's wrong with that? That's classy.
I thought he chose the restaurant.
He did.
But you said his people did it.
No, they made the reservation. He said where he wanted to go.
Ooh, smart.
Say hi.
What about... Hi, Paul.
OK, fine.
Hi, Paul. I hope I haven't kept you waiting for long.
That's great, Rose.
I know. It just came to me.
He turns around and you look into those blue eyes for the first time.
Oh, crikey.
Play it cool.
Sure. Ice cool? That's me.
Not at all. I just got here. Although I have taken the liberty of organising some champagne. I hope you don't mind.
Wow, the real thing.
This isn't Walter, Rose. This kind of guy doesn't do Prosecco.
Prosecco? That would have been a very special occasion for Walter to order Prosecco. Like when I just pushed out another human being out of my...
Yeah, I think we know where. We know.
No, Walter was more of a Carver sort of guy. I wouldn't have minded if he'd just said it was Carver. It was perfectly drinkable. Although he did always choose the one that got the extra points on his supermarket card.
Elegantly, you slide into your chair.
Like a duchess. What am I wearing?
Something casual, but alluring. A Chanel suit?
No, too formal. What about a three-quarter sleeve, collarless red jacket, paired with a short wrap-over purple skirt? An interesting twist on the classic look.
Is that what Di wore at the Taj Mahal?
Oh, was it? I hadn't realised.
You're hopeless. OK. Here's the thing. You have to choose something that's already in your wardrobe. You're having lunch. You're not morphing into somebody else.
But I've nothing to wear.
You have boxes and boxes of clothes. Your spare room is literally hanging rails, all buckling under the weight of dresses wrapped in polythene.
OK. The black and white polka dot halter neck.
That's your pulling dress. Much too slutty for lunch.
It's not slutty.
Oh, yes, it is. That's why you wear it.
It's décolleté.
Well, let's just agree then. It's too evening for a lunch engagement. Something else?
Okay. The beige button-through short-sleeve safari dress with sandals. High sandals.
Very short. With too many buttons unbuttoned?
Naturally.
Okay. So where were we?
I just parked my bottom gracefully.
Nicely done. Paul has poured you a glass of champagne. It's rosé. For you, Rosie.
Oh, stop! It's too much now.
You love it though, right?
Oh, jeepers, yes. I'm loving it. I think I've actually started salivating.
The waiter comes over and unfolds a crisp white linen napkin and places it in your lap.
Do they really do that?
In posh places, they do.
Glad you told me. Otherwise, I might think the waiter was getting a bit fresh.
It's not that kind of establishment.
Oh, don't think that lecherous behaviour is restricted to the lower classes. No. Guys go in for a grope whenever they think they might get away with it. It's the great social equaliser. Anyone, literally anyone, can do it.
OK, but that's not happening today.
It can happen at any time. Sometimes when you least expect it.
But not in the imaginary world we're creating.
We have control.
Just for today.
So, what happens next?
The waiter has placed a small plate of caviar and crisp, crabby biscuit thing on the table. Some amuse-bouche while you consider the menu, madame, monsieur?
Oh, my bush is already quite amused, I can tell you.
Keep it clean, Rose.
Sorry.
Rose, would you like me to choose something that I think you'd like?
Eh? Did he really say that? Why do men always think they know better than us? We never even met before and now he's ordering my lunch.
Well, you're killing the mood. That's a romantic gesture.
It's not right.
Look, you choose his lunch, he chooses yours.
Why don't we just choose our own?
Because you choose your lunch every other day. This is something different.
Do I have to?
Yes, it's the rules of the game.
Well, that sounds fun. But let me choose yours for you too.
I'd be delighted.
He'd be delighted. Get that. I didn't even know that men were delighted about anything.
Well, this one is. So, what are you going to get for him?
Steak and chips, I guess, for a bloke.
Oh, class it up a little.
Veal? In a lemon butter sauce?
Something on the side?
Oh, yes, please, I don't mind if I do.
I meant like a salad.
Don't be silly, men don't eat salad.
Paul Newman has his own salad dressing company.
So he does. And all the profits go to charity, don't they?
Newman's own foundation, funding children with life-limiting conditions, fighting hunger and abuse.
Wow, this guy. Who knew that philanthropy was such an aphrodisiac?
I don't think that's why they do it.
And that's why it works. What does he get for me? Oysters?
No, that's far too obvious. He chooses lobster with samphire served on a freshly made crumpet.
On a crumpet? What is this? Afternoon tea? Oh, I knew this was a bad idea.
Go with it. I saw one of those celebrity chefs do it on the telly and it looked great.
How am I going to get the lobster out of its shell? That's just a nightmare. It's going to get all over my dress.
The kitchen's already done that for you. Just pop the bite-sized little pieces of scrumptious white flesh into your tiny little cake hole.
Okay, fine. I'll have the lobster crumpet.
Did you tell him what you got for him?
Yep.
Great choice. It's like you can read my mind.
You don't need to be much of a Houdini to read my mind right now.
Houdini was an escape artist, not a mind reader.
You know what I mean.
So, tell me about yourself.
Seriously? Are there guys who ask that question? I swear, from the moment Walter's backside trumpeted the start of another new day to the gargle of spit of the nighttime routine, it never crossed his mind that I was living and breathing in the same block of time.
So do it. Tell him about yourself.
Well, ever since I was a little girl.
How did it go?
I told him. I said I wanted to be an actress. He didn't laugh. He didn't even smirk. He just asked me,
stage or screen?
And which is it?
You know, in all these years I've been dreaming of being an actress, I never realised I'd ever even asked myself the first and most obvious question. Stage or screen? Of course, why didn't I ever think about that?
Well, maybe you don't mind.
Maybe it was never a real ambition. Just a daydream to escape the reality of laundry and cooking. It's a kind of torture house, Swiffery. You spend all day scrubbing and washing, folding, tidying, and no one even knows you've done it. It turns you into the invisible woman. Oh, I think I just wanted to be seen, you know?
It's going to be different for Frances, though, isn't it?
Is it? I think we're all placing all these additional expectations on our girls without ever once thinking about how to relieve them of the domestic burdens that have been tying them to the house and home for hundreds of years.
We're a long way from Scandinavia here, aren't we?
Way over the other side of the Atlantic Ocean.
North Sea.
North Sea, yeah.
How come you never know where anything is?
I know all the stuff I need to know. I've Googled for everything else.
Are you going to see him again?
Paul?
Yeah, unless you want to have lunch with someone else.
No, I think the vision of that lunch will stay with me in my dreams for as long as I live. Oh, thank you, Connie. It was wonderful. Let me do one for you.
Next week?
Oh, next week I can't make it, sorry.
Well, what you doing?
I've got something to do.
What?
A thing.
What thing?
A pedi.
You're missing a girl's night for a pedi. Since when?
Well, you know, you can't drive after a pedi. It's actually illegal to drive in flip-flops. Anyway, I've got to get the bus, so I can't.
Is everything okay?
Of course. Why wouldn't it be? So week after? Who do you want to have lunch with?
Fine. But lunch isn't my daydream.
Ooh, what do you want?
I've always wanted to play to a full stadium.
You mean in a band?
A singer.
Mousy old you singing to Wembley.
Look, if we can't be our alter egos in our own daydreams, then when can we be?
Fine. Constance the Superstar will make an appearance in 2 weeks' time. Anyone in particular?
Can I just leave that up to you? I'm sorry, I've got to rush. I've got to pick up Jack after bowling.
The old man still playing with his balls.
Bye, darling. See you in 2 weeks.
Bye. Stage, of course. No point in being adored from afar.
Evening. Okay there.
Oh yeah, everything's fine. It's just been a busy couple of weeks.
What's been happening?
Frances and Michael came to stay for a few days.
At the same time? What, they both stayed with you?
Yeah, it was so nice. Dining out and dining in, you know.
Bit unusual, isn't it? Both of them at the same time. Didn't they have classes?
Oh, it just worked out that way. Coincidence, you know. They're very good at keeping in touch with their mother.
Oh, they're great kids. Adults, I should say. Not kids anymore.
No. They got older and we got older. And all in the blink of an eye.
Any news about Walter?
Yeah, Michael said he's moved to Glasgow.
Glasgow? Why, Glasgow of all places, that's very far away.
Apparently, Walter doesn't think the Glaswegian men are very attractive.
Why, is he doing guys now too?
No, silly. But the women are quite fit, and they like fashion anyway.
And?
And therefore, he's had 100% hit rate since he arrived.
Meaning he's bludgeoned every woman he's met into bed.
Connie!
Sorry, just kidding.
Anyway, he wasn't all that bad. He did leave me the house, no quibbles.
Well, he walked out one day and never came back. And being a slug rather than a snail, the house stayed where it was, with you and the kids still in it.
He's still the children's father, so we have to keep a united front.
You know, there's something I've been meaning to talk to you about for a while now.
Look, oh, look at the time. We must crack on.
Rose?
We've got to do your VR thing. Can't just sit here chatting all night.
It's just that I wondered if we could
think,
just...
Think Swedish.
What?
For your song. It's a clue. Sweden.
Oh, okay. Meatballs. IKEA. Volvo.
Play nicely.
Gotta be ABBA then.
Yes. Agnetha. What's her face?
Oh, you didn't even look up her name?
No, I did. But I forgot because it's Swedish.
You don't say.
Well, if you're so clever, you say her name.
I can't because it's Swedish.
Anyway, you know the one. The blonde bombshell.
That's me. So what might it be? Super Trooper? Gimme, gimme, gimme a man after midnight? Oh, no, that's you.
Wait for it. First, you have to get to Wembley.
Yes, sir. Playing Wembley.
OK, so put the goggles on. Ready?
Hang on, just a moment. OK, yeah, shoot.
You walk down the stairs of the hotel.
Don't they have a lift?
It's all for effect. This hotel has a grand sweeping staircase with a super thick pile carpet, held in place by shiny, shiny brass carpet rods.
Well, that's quite a lot of detail about the carpet, isn't it?
I'm setting the scene.
Yeah, but do we need so much information about flooring?
I haven't finished.
Oh, what more?
The tread of the stairs is so shallow that even you could glide down them.
Hang on, less of the even you. This is my daydream, remember? You're supposed to be nice to me in it.
OK, light-footed think twinkle toes that you are. Float down the majestic staircase.
My right hand gently trails along the top of the hard wood banisters.
You've got it. And into the hotel atrium with highly polished marble tiles in a green and white herringbone pattern.
Oh, so much about floors.
How are you going to know you're in a fine hotel if you don't appreciate the interiors?
Oh, just tell me something about something else.
People line the balcony around the atrium to watch you descend.
Oh, are they taking photos of me?
No. These are the other posh hotel guests and hopelessly respectable. No selfies, no autographs. Wait till you get outside for the fans.
Am I going out now?
Yes. Walk past the concierge.
Now that's how I know this is a fine hotel. It's got a bleeding concierge. What is a concierge anyway?
Sort of the internet in human form.
Oh, soon there's going to be no need for humans. It'll all be machines.
Not today, because the doorman, who is, for some inexplicable reason, wearing an admiral's uniform, opens the door to let you and Frieda pass.
Although that's the thing I could never understand.
What? Why doormen wear such fancy outfits?
No, you twit. That Frieda was a member of ABBA. Frieda. I thought it was the first letter of their names.
They should really have called themselves Abf.
or fab?
Well, they are fab. So I wonder why no one thought of that.
It would have been so much better.
Now, step outside into the glare of the paparazzi. Feel the fracas of the camera shutters clicking and the fans calling out your name, jostling to get close to you.
Oh, gosh, it's a bit intimidating.
Don't let it show. Smile into the crowd. Pretend you like it.
I thought I would, but actually I don't.
You've got huge bodyguards to keep these people away from you. Just relax into it and move towards the car that's waiting.
Oh, I see it. A fancy black limousine thing with a driver in a hat.
No, it's a people carrier. You're not the Queen.
Oh, God, I miss the Queen.
We all do, darling.
You know, I miss her more than I miss my own mother. Is it bad to say that?
No, it's not bad. It's terrible. Now get into the car.
But I don't want a people carrier.
You've all got to fit in it. All four of you. And your PR person.
Well, could they not go in their own car?
Look, this is the way they do it. It's fancy though, right? You can have a little drinks box for the journey.
Oh yeah, a little drinks cabinet behind the driver that you pull down the brass knob and it opens up to reveal cut crystal glasses and a bottle of whiskey.
You're not James Bond either. I mean, you could have a cool box with some cans or something in it.
Well, as they're Scandinavians, they probably want a smorgasbord.
I'm not sure this VR experience is working for you.
Oh, no, it's great. I'm sorry. I'm really enjoying it. Keep going. Do I get a police escort to Wembley?
You're still not the Queen. Oh, God bless her.
Oh, I'm sorry. You carry on. I'm just going to listen for a bit.
The traffic is heavy. But you just relax and let your professional driver take care of it.
Nice. Hoody-goody, hoody-goody, honey-hoody, blah-blah, hoody-goody, bloody-bloody.
What the hell are you doing? I thought you were going to shut up for a minute.
We're talking in Swedish. They don't chat in English. That's just for the songs, the interviews. Did we get to Wembley yet?
You have arrived at your destination.
Tight security and a whole host of people with clipboards and lanyards meet you.
Ooh, nice.
Some guys in shades open their car doors and generally fluff you around and into your dressing room.
Cool. Am I sharing with Frida?
No, you're married to Bjorn, so you share a dressing room with him.
I wonder if all that adrenaline means we'll get up to a little pre-show hanky-panky.
Ooh, naughty. I would have thought so.
With the four of them, it makes you wonder if they ever swapped partners sometimes. You know, just for fun.
Constance, of course they didn't do that. What are you talking about? This is ABBA, not the Sex Pistols. That didn't happen, ever.
OK, no problem.
So, you've got to get ready.
Are we doing the high silver boots and the blue satin trousers thing?
You bet your bottom dollar we are.
And that beaded beanie hat thing?
The full works.
Oh, they had style. Do I have a hairstylist?
No, because it just hangs straight down and you can't really do anything with that. I tell you what, you can have a blow dry. You can hear the crowds chanting, ABBA, 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 90,000 odd, all calling for you.
Oh, God, it's terrifying. I've got so much fear in my veins right now. I can barely stop myself running in the opposite direction.
Go on. This is your moment. You step out into the blinding lights and the crowd goes wild. It's like a wall of sound crashing into your chest.
Oh, jeepers.
Walk up to the mic.
Good evening, Wembley. It's great to be here.
The crowd roar their approval. You relax. You've got this.
What am I going to sing?
You're the winner here, Connie. And the winner...
takes it all. I got it.
Know the words?
Of course, everybody does. Do, 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 do.
about things we've gone through.
Bye, Connie.
Now it's history.
Rose, they're all singing along with me. Listen to them. Oh, Rose! Rosie! Rose! Nothing more to say. Rose? Rose? No more ace. Where are you?
The winner takes it all. The loser standing small.
Thursday night. Our girls' night out. Just me in this envelope tonight, though, huh? Oh, well. Cheers to you, doll. Let's see what all this is about.
Francis should have given you this letter after the funeral. So, if you're reading this at any other time, put it back, cheeky. You know what you're like.
Telling me off from beyond the grave.
Firstly, thanks for everything. The lasagnas, a bit heavy on the bechamel, but otherwise delicious.
No, sorry, that's cheeky. I do a very fine lasagna and you know it.
And the laughs, always.
Always.
Do you remember our VR experience game? Just before everything went tits up. Or more like tits away, anyway.
Got another girl who can make a bilateral mastectomy joke.
I wanted to do one more VR for you. Put the goggles on. Or rather, before you do that, plug in this USB and then put the goggles on.
Your wish is my command.
This one's called Enchanted Forest.
Sounds a bit iffy, Rose.
Two young girls are standing on the edge of the forest. They know they need to cross to the other side, but both are afraid. One has lovely wavy hair that frames her little face, just like a Pear soap advert. The other has straight hair that hangs down, just hangs there, doesn't do anything.
Blimey. Can't guess who is who. If you weren't dead already, you would be now.
The girl with the straight hair says to the girl with the wavy hair, which class are you in?
And you said, 2F, Miss Finch's class.
And she replied, 2F, Miss Finch's class.
Oh, sorry, I forget you can't hear me.
From that moment on, the journey across the forest seemed so much less daunting because the girls were always together.
Cute and very true.
Sometimes the path was wide and flat and they could hold hands and skip along easily. Sometimes it was steep and rocky and they would pull each other up.
Sometimes you'd fall flat on your face and I'd have to come and rescue you.
Sometimes the trees were widely spaced and light shone between the branches, reaching down into the forest like fingers. Sometimes the trees were close together and it was so dark we could barely find our way.
That sounds like exam time. I think I even headbutted a few of the trees at that point.
But after a while, we came to a clearing in the forest. The grass was soft and welcoming and we decided to stay there together for a while.
Oh, crikey, is that our flat share episode?
We enjoyed picking the wild flowers that grew in the grass.
I think that you enjoyed picking more of the wild flowers than I did, that's for sure.
But after a while, a stag appeared. He was so tall and handsome. Well, the girl with the wavy hair, she couldn't help herself, and she ran off into the forest after those huge antlers.
Oh, on, Rose, one hawly animal after another.
But it was okay, because the girl with the straight hair found a wild boar snuffling around in the roots of the trees.
He isn't that boring. I told you that a million times.
And then the two girls followed their own paths for a while. But sometimes their paths crossed and they made their way through the forest.
Happy days indeed.
One day, when the stag was away, attending to stag business on the other side of the forest.
Most likely the rutting season.
The girl with the wavy hair bumped into the boar at the crossroads.
Oh?
It seemed the wild boar didn't know which way to go because he followed the girl with the wavy hair all the way home.
I see.
Shortly after this, a fairy princess joined them.
Uh-huh.
After that, the two girls spent many lovely days with the little fairy, dipping their toes in the bubbling streams, picking bluebells and chasing butterflies.
Oh, yeah. Frances was a princess. All her little dresses. Too cute.
At other times, the stag and the boar would join the girls, and they dropped their hairy snouts into the woods to drink, and how they laughed.
We had a few good nights out together, that's true.
But suddenly the paths disappeared completely. There were large boulders in their way, and we scrambled and we couldn't see our way through. The stag, he lost his footing and slipped.
Buggered off, I think you mean.
The girls, they got separated and they didn't see so much of each other at that time. But somehow the girl with the wavy hair found herself alone with the boar again.
For crying out loud.
Shortly after this, a little elf came to play with his fairy sister.
Oh, Rosie. Rosie Rose.
But we got over the boulders and there was a very happy patch of grassy meadow filled with buttercups and daisies. The girls ran together with the children in the sunshine.
We took them to lots of parks and the zoo. Michael loved animals so much. Frances, well, she mostly liked the ice cream.
We thought this time would last forever, but we were wrong. Because eventually, as you know, the girl with the wavy hair, she bumped into a big dragon.
A very big, very nasty dragon.
Who bent down and yummied her up in one gulp.
Bloody stupid dragon!
But the dragon said, "Don't be cross with me, for I'm doing my dragony things, for I'm a dragon and this is what I do."
I just wish you could have hung on a little longer. I don't want to be in this forest without you, Rose.
The fairy and the elf are bigger now, but they're still going to need some help to avoid the trolls and the monsters hiding in the trees. Watch them for me, won't you, Connie?
Of course, Rose. No problem.
In case you need some shelter, don't forget the stag has left us his lie, which is now yours.
All right, Walter. You weren't all bad. I'll give you that much.
Safe journey, my friend.
So she sort of told me at last. Sort of. In her own crazy way. The worst kept secret in the village is finally out of the bag. It took me a while, I have to admit. I mean, Frances looks like her mum. So it wasn't obvious at first. But Michael, well, he's the spitting image of his father. And seeing as Walter was, well, how shall we say, often otherwise engaged, it didn't take too long to put two and two together. But it wasn't really the way the children looked physically. It was the way that Jack looked at them that removed any doubt. That small smile that played on his lips when they said funny things. The actual pain he felt in his own leg when they bumped their little knees. That was the poker player's tell, as they say. I wasn't happy about it when I realised, but I'm not a saint. I argued with Jack, of course, for a while. But after a while, it just became a fact. We didn't need to conceal or even acknowledge it. It just existed in its own sphere, just like a planet orbiting the sun. But how could I bring something like that up with Rosie? A woman, my very best friend in the whole world, left alone with two very small children. It wasn't an easy topic to broach. And she was clearly so worried about the chasm that would open up between us that she took her secret and buried it so deep she almost fooled herself into believing it wasn't true. I know why she chose that song for me. She knew then, didn't she, what was going to happen to her. And she knew that everything would fall to me. The husband, the family, the house. She knew it would be me who would watch them graduate, watch them start work, get married. I would be the one to wave them off and then welcome them back, standing there next to their father. It must indeed have looked like I was the winner of life's game. It doesn't seem like that to me. This isn't a victory, but a defeat. Not just losing my best friend, the person who gave me all the laughs, but now I've lost the opportunity to say, it's okay. That was all it would have taken. And I could have changed her life. Well, I couldn't have extended her time on Earth, but I could have improved it. And yet somehow I never found the right time. So many things we said. So many words came out of my mouth. And never the thing that I needed to say more than anything else. It's okay, Rosie. Don't worry about it.
You have been listening to A Pyrrhic Victory, written and directed by Emma McQuillan, edited by Colin Hansford, featuring Sarah Robinson as Rose and Tess Townsend as Connie. Music and sound effects courtesy of YouTube. Upstage Surrey, creating entertainment, written and performed by local people for local people.
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.